This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Sven Lapland. Sven, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you. How are you?
Great. Sven, who are you and what do you do?
So, Henrik, my name is Sven. I'm based in Germany and I'm a blockchain enthusiast and aficionado. What I do, I got hooked by blockchain in 2014, watching the presentation of a very innovative blockchain concept called Ethereum by a very young guy. Name is Vitalik Buterin, and he presented Ethereum. What do? I am, since 20 years, a digital innovator. I created companies, did an IPO in 2000. I spot quite early new infrastructure, the new theme of a decade, like social media or mobile, which came after the web. And I instantly understood what blockchain will present for us. So I'm looking for developing entrepreneurial opportunities, helping companies and helping individuals to reach those goals by developing ventures and by pushing other initiatives like Blockchain Angels. So I founded for that a company called Astratum, and I cooperate with a British partner to set up and run the Blockchain Angels initiative.
Sven, how are you involved with blockchain?
Deeply. So basically, when I got the bug, I first started to catch up because, as you may know, blockchain is a technological innovation, which means it's driven by technologists, which I'm not. I'm one of the first wave commercial dudes who want to basically implement all those new capabilities. And here in that specific case, we should always keep in mind that the origin of blockchain is Bitcoin, and the driver behind Bitcoin is basically the loss of trust in centralized institutions and centralized systems like governments or like the stock exchanges or the centralized money, the so-called fiat money. So I catched up by reading, by talking, by networking, by applying my experiences from the last 20 years to understand the matter. I did some studies about cryptocurrency at the University of Nicosia with Andreas Antonopoulos, one of the masterminds of Bitcoin, and with the MIT in Massachusetts. So first to understand it, then I was able to assemble a team of, after I had made my judgment what it means for us, I was able to pull together a team of international experts with interdisciplinary skills to prepare for the demand for blockchain experts in a widest range of matters. So Astratum makes projects, like we are quite happy. We are not in the news, but we deliver. So recently we have created for one of the largest car makers in the world, completely decentralized, blockchain-based smart contract running rental car system, which offers some incredible cost efficiencies. And we also engaged in other startups ideas, which are nascent now, but which can become big in a very short time frame.
Sven, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with blockchain?
Mm-hmm. So for the successes, that's quite easy. For the moment, it's certainly Bitcoin, which is a currency running on blockchain, and then initially also has introduced the concept of the blockchain to the world. Has grown to over 6 billion in value and has survived many attacks and defamations. Then the second largest success, which is bringing us blockchain 2.0, is Ethereum, which is a blockchain not designed to support a cryptocurrency, but designed to support the creation of decentralized apps. And this is the truly revolutionary concept. So these are the two biggest successes so far for blockchain. Then we have many banks and corporations, but also an entire crowd of founders and innovators who are experimenting with the technology to basically be able to implement and deploy it according to the promises it has. So far to the successes. For the challenges, I think the biggest challenge is, besides, on the one hand, the little understanding of what cryptocurrencies or tokens running on blockchain or decentralized app means for businesses, but also individuals or societies or policymakers, we have technological challenges. So before I go into listing the technological challenges, I'd like to remind that blockchain is not only a technology. Blockchain is a technological innovation, that's true, but it's also a social innovation, and it's also an economical innovation. And to understand those three layers playing together and creating some new systems running and really exploiting as best as possible all those layers to create something new is the real challenge right now. And this is why experts like me and many others are coming together, exchanging themselves, are experimenting within the community, but also outside of the community with corporates and banks, etc., to see how these things are running. The biggest technological challenge so far is that you have as much concepts and perceptions of what you can do with blockchain than people reading and studying it and working with it. So you have not a standard set of understanding like you have today with the web technology, where you have a standard web stack. You say you need a server, you need a database, you need some business layer and application on top of it, you need a user interface, and then you go and you create your nice website or e-commerce or community or whatever. Here we have really something new. And here, to create something new with a new technology, you need to be able to look outside of the conventional space. You need to want to reinvent things to the better. And this is certainly one of the big drivers behind the technological set of technologies. You have people driving it who want to improve the world, to make it a better place, to make it a fairer place. This is something you need to really understand, to understand where the technologists are coming from. And the other technological challenge is that the standard technology stack is not yet ready. Means you cannot go now and create something by saying, these are the tools, these are the components, let's go for it. We are still in a very early phase where everybody's experimenting with the technology, and where we see month by month new components enriching the blockchain stack so that you're able to create fully decentralized blockchain-based system or solution. And I think the challenge now is to keep up with that incredible high space of technological development, progress, concepts, and to keep up with that discussion, which is a global discussion, by the way. Yeah, so these would be my the biggest successes, Bitcoin and Ethereum, and challenges, the still fluid state of the technology and the complexity and layer to get to understand what you can do with that new technology coming up.
Sven, in your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
That's an interesting question, because this basically implies that you will that you look upfront and that you create a vision about where are things going, and how is blockchain as a technology going to be adopted, accepted, and deployed. So maybe quite at the beginning, I am convinced that the impact of the blockchain is, though it's a buzzword, and in every magazine you can read about blockchain, but the real impact of the blockchain as a new technological, social, and economical concept is widely underestimated in terms of impact and in terms of time it will need to roll out and to show that impact. Just to give you an example, the large market researchers, they consider blockchain to be now in the lab state. So if you look at the bell curve, we are really quite early. We are in the innovator phase and far away from being in the early adopter phase. But they talk about a time span of 5 to 10 years before you can see an impact. You know, I have an extensive background also in telecommunication, which was a large innovation wave the last 20 years. First, telcos were embracing the internet. Then it was the mobile business and the smartphone driving the innovation. And I can tell you, if you're from the mobile business, you can take such a statement serious. It took 3 years for Nokia basically to lose its position as a global mobile leader to fall completely in irrelevance. And today, honestly, no one knows if Nokia still exists. It took only 3 days for them to lose their unbeatable position. So when a market researcher says to me something like 5 to 10 years, it's just ridiculous. And also to put that in context, in the ecosystem, in the blockchain ecosystems, when you with the people who understand it and who drive it, we have just a completely different time frame. So time frame roughly is that 2016 is the year of the prototypes where you experiment with the software. 2017, you tweak those prototypes and you put them or prepare them for production level systems. In 2018 is going to be the year where you will have the impact of the blockchain. Regardless of many opinions widely discussed, whether it's such a great thing, whether the blockchain can provide answers to questions which cannot be coming from the web. So we're talking about 2018, and that's a driver behind all the entrepreneurial guys I'm talking to. So we are not waiting for decades to materialize. We are working on it. What will it augment, change, or replace? It will replace first and almost all centralized or many centralized systems and also roles which go with it. Centralized authorities, but also, for example, the middleman. If you look at the web businesses which we have today, like take the big Silicon Valley place, you have, for example, eBay. eBay is a centralized marketplace where the disruptor of eBay is already existing. They are already working on it. They have incredible traction. So what's the difference? Well, they don't have any more centralized server. They don't need millions of investments from a VC to set up those large server farms, to operate them, and to deliver that marketplace where people can buy from the world, but where people have to pay a lot to do those transactions. And this enriching some companies and some VCs to a point which is impressive, but not very fair to the general public. And these new systems are already now today existing. So it's not something you need to come up. They are already kind of in an iterative process where they are experimenting with the user interfaces and the technology behind the payment system. And they are already operational. So one of the contender, one of the platforms basically able to put a middleman out of its business, like eBay, is US-based but global project called Open Bazaar, just as one example. So it will replace, so blockchain will replace centralized systems. It will change much more than just replacing systems, because again, it's not only technological innovation, it's also a social one. So when you don't have a middleman anymore, you have other roles being involved in that ecosystem based on the blockchain. So those who are today middlemen, they will have to either reinvent their roles in the context of the blockchain ecosystem, or they will disappear. And new service provider will appear, which have another, a better, a fairer service proposition, which will be then based on those blockchain ecosystems. It will change the way how we make trades. It will change the way how we interact with our environment, because blockchain will enable IoT, finally. It will enable micropayments, finally. So this means we will see a huge push of connected cars and smart cities finally happening, because you have now the very important components with a blockchain coming up, which will enable all these vision we are driving for the last 10 years. It will augment our lives, because it will enable a lot of automated processes in the background, which are then also converging with artificial intelligence, 3D printing, and many other virtual reality, but also horizontal applications of decentralized identities. So it goes way beyond technology, and it will have a huge impact on the way how we as a society function, and not only in a closed shop, but as a global society. You will see some countries or some states, also city-states, being in a favorable position because they are small and they can take quite fairly quickly decisions. You will see a shift of power. I don't want to dramatize it, but you will see it. It will empower the leaders, the one who embrace the new technology, and it will weaken those who are fighting against it or who are just not open for it. And here, we must also clearly say that the biggest challenge to blockchain are the existing systems. You know, I mean, there's that saying of never change a winning team. So it means that in the US and in Europe, you have very high level of sophistication in our societies. And it works quite well. It doesn't work perfect. This is why those systems were developed, but it works quite well. So when you have a system which is working quite well, it's really difficult to fight against it. I know this from advising large tech companies, global tech companies. So it's difficult to tell them who are at the top of their success, that basically they are going to be in the next year. They are feeling a dump. But think about many states who have a demographic explosion and who don't have the existing infrastructure. They will have it easy to embrace the new technology. There's nothing to replace. It's just to build. So there's no decision to make or evaluation what you destroy when you create something new. So I expect in some countries to have a leapfrogging, like we saw with the highly successful mobile payment system of Vodafone in Kenya, M-Pesa, where you had basically the population leapfrogging the entire PC generation. They went straight ahead to mobiles and now to smartphones. And so you will see in many countries, populations and economies moving to blockchain. At this point, I'd like also to address something which I think very often is not considered enough in, if you look at the global pace of the blockchain adoption, because like in the past, it's the U.S. with its ecosystem of investors, inventors, and the markets who are very visible and who are able to create some huge successes. But we are today living in a global economy, in a global society, with an incredible speed of innovation diffusion across the globe. And here we have a hidden champion somehow grasping with a much at much bigger scale blockchain that, than Europe or the US. I am engaged very often in discussions at panels where I'm asked, so where do you think, who are going to be the winners? Where is the blockchain adoption going to be the highest? And it's always either Euro or US centric. But just to give you an idea, 90% of the Bitcoins as a cryptocurrency are traded in China. 70% of the miners, which are basically the roles in that Bitcoin network who are creating the security and the trust to operate the currency are based in China. The first large individual institutional investor of Ethereum, the second largest blockchain, is a Chinese car supplier, Wangxiang. So you see, we may have some nations or economies who are already far ahead and do not discuss anymore, but embrace that new technology and implement it. So, for example, Wangxiang is using the blockchain technology to finance their repositioning in the value chain of the new electric car market. They use it to implement decentralized research and development. And so far, they are very successful with it. So they are an invisible competitor, because no one in that car manufacturing market is looking for a car supplier. What they do, they look for Tesla. And also, in comparison with the smartphone market, you know, Nokia was killed not because of Apple and the iPhone. They looked at the Apple and iPhone, but the market shares of Apple with the iPhone are already constant between 15 and 25%, roughly spoken. But Nokia was killed because they had an invisible competitor, Samsung. They didn't look at Samsung. Samsung produced some cheap phones without interest in Korea. And Samsung was grasping the upcoming of that new operational system, Android, and ride that wave without hesitation and became the number one player and basically was eating the lunch of Nokia. So we have something which can be reproduced in any market again. Here, I think what's very important for incumbents is not only to watch what the other incumbents in other countries are making or some startups, but they have to look for that invisible competitor. That's the dangerous competitor.
Sven, how will people make money with blockchain?
Mm-hmm. So you have several opportunities with it. So first, I think they will make money with blockchain like they did in the past. That's the traditional approach. You will have many activities which are basically unchanged. There will be some gains by using some more efficient systems for them. So, but this will be not of a dramatic change. You will need to apply smart ideas, develop those smart ideas. That's the phase we are currently in. That's the excitement. I'm called blockchain fever. So everybody around me, me myself included, we have things at latest 2014, we have all blockchain fever looking for the big idea. And then you have also some new daring, bold ideas coming up front. So on the one hand, you will have gains from efficiencies. On the other hand, you will just create new solution which existed before, so kind of a blue ocean strategy, a new solution with new technologies for new markets. And this is where big money is. Just to give you an idea about how it is, and also put it in context. Before we had YouTube, there was an excitement, and we all knew, we were all talking since the 90s about internet TV. But all approaches were wrong. And when YouTube came up, which was something new, it was not internet TV like we knew it in the 90s. It was not TV in a traditional sense. It had bad quality, problems with the liability with user-generated content. And I would be so free to say, today, YouTube is the biggest TV channel of the world. It's the leading global TV channel. Because the conception of the TV has changed, though we still have traditional TV stations. So I see some similar developments in the blockchain space. It's always a combination of an entrepreneurial drive combined with a desire to improve the world. So I give you an example of a friend of mine who is already quite far with his the implementation of his concept and how those new concepts will look like. Most are unfortunately focusing now today on payments. But improving the payments was one of the drivers why BitChain has been created. But it's only a function, a feature of what the technology can do. So his desire was to improve the world by improving the cities we are living in. And he sees the way with the society are living by commuting and by being cramped during daytime in inner cities, which are building, which are living and working. We are living and working in some very functional buildings, but not necessarily aesthetic buildings, aesthetic environments. He is basically reinventing the entire process, how you create buildings and cities and how you shape them. So he turns around the current process of a project developer selecting a property and raising funds, and then at the end hiring an architect who is briefed to do basically what the not so creative people are have in mind. He's turning it around that the architects and creative people can come up with a project, can get it funded globally, and then hire the construction, hire and manage the constructors. The driver behind this, by the way, the platform delivers these functionalities in a way more efficient way than you would do that project management today. And on the other hand, opens up the opportunity for people, individuals, but also institutions, to invest in real estate property, regardless of the location where they are or what the property is, and regardless of the sum they want to invest. So it means the next Empire State Building, which could be really maybe as innovative as the Empire State Building was back in time, could be an investment opportunity for everybody, basically from across the globe, who wants, if it's only to put in $5 or $10, he can do it through blockchain because the transactions are cheaper to be done and the technology enables a trust where you can manage also for such a little investment the state these people would represent. So if you look again at the global scale where we have now a demographic explosion in many parts of the world, you will have also many cities being built, many new cities. And if those tools which are accessible offer new ways how people can build, invest, decide what to build, how to build it, with whom to build it, then this has a dramatic impact on the cities. And this is just an example I wanted to give to show you how beyond the classical thinking like banks have currently, banks are coming together in a consortium where you put banks and banks together to basically talk about improving their existing processes. So yes, this is an interesting field for blockchain, but it's not the interesting one. The interesting one is currently developed, designed, created by outliers who are very imaginative, traditional ways of making money, new products and new platforms to deliver existing and similar products and services like we have today with more efficient systems, but also new systems, new solutions, which are not only technological solutions, but also new social and economical models. This is where you will have the biggest economical impact.
Sven, what advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
Well, understand it. Don't put it on the shelf and consider it some geek stuff or some future thing. It's happening right now. And try to understand it. Try to understand it by approaching it not only from a technological point of view. Try to understand it from a social point of view and from the economical point of view. This is very important because the blockchain is going to be the infrastructure which is basically helping us as economies, individuals, and societies to move into the next decades and to move into new phases of our societies. And the system we build today are going to be the systems our kids are growing with tomorrow. And though the blockchain has many liberating aspects, it has also the potential to control us more than we want to do today. It's the always existing double-edged potential which new technologies are bringing with them. And so it's really important to understand the from a holistic point of view what blockchain represents. So it's important to understand the components what makes a blockchain, because, you know, there are going to be many blockchains, but what we call today a blockchain is one component of what we usually name with the same terminology, blockchain, but which has many additional components. So this is also where the confusion comes from. So for all those interested in blockchains, read, retweet, visit meetups where you're living, connect with people who are interested in as well. Start to play around with cryptocurrencies, get some. There's not only Bitcoin, there are many different cryptocurrencies. Make your experience with them and invest in them, because, you know, the Googles, Apples, and Amazons of tomorrow, they are going to be clearly blockchain-based. And so from this angle, a wise investor investing today in blockchain, and an individual needs to understand it, whether he has he is interested only in the investment of as an entrepreneur, but also as a politician, as a normal citizen. You need to understand all the potential. There's many, you know, we all have internet today, so information is easily accessible. There are some universities which are presenting some exceptionally well designed courses and classes on the matter. And some of them are free, some of them are commercial. But get familiar with it, because the impact is going to be big. It's going to be to come earlier than expected. And if you want to benefit from that technology, then dive into it, play with it, learn about it, and have fun, of course.
Well, thanks, Sven.
Thank you, Henrik.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.